Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge. It's Bubba back in charge for the day. I got my man Xander, but he's on the road traveling. But what's up, Xander?
Not much. It's a little different than I'm used to be doing. I'm used to being in the studio, got the mic going, but now I gotta go through a cell phone. I'm on my laptop, but a lot of good action this week, and we got the NFL, we got NCAA football coming up this week, so a lot of exciting stuff. Olympics are over. Baseball, we got, about 4 or 5 weeks left. So it's definitely an exciting time in sports. And, fantasy football is right around the corner. I got, a draft tomorrow, a draft on Wednesday, another one then the next Sunday. So I've been looking up some stuff for that. And so I think we'll get around to some fantasy football today, as well as some college football. And, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, and so... I think the first thing is, even though I'm not an Olympics fan and all the other BS, but what do you think about Hope Solo? Did you read about that?
Yeah, I did read a little bit about that. Hope Solo seems to always be in the news for the wrong reasons. Very strongly opinionated person, and I see why the IOC they suspended her. I mean, just because she lost, it seemed like she's kind of being a little bit of a sore loser. I mean, you're up by a goal and an Olympic game to go to the, the championship round. Like, if you play a different style, that's what you're supposed to do. And I think Hope Solo, didn't really have any right to call the Swedes cowards. I think they just played a better game and they beat them. But, I'm not surprised. She's definitely been, in the news in the past for some things that she probably shouldn't have done. And so the 6-month suspension, it might seem like a long time, I don't think it's really as long as people think, in, international soccer competition, they're not like playing every day like, the major leagues. I saw somebody write something that it compared to like a, 4 or 5 game suspension for starting pitcher. Basically you miss a start. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 2-match thing. But I mean, obviously it wasn't just for what she said. I mean, she's been involved in domestic abuse. She's been involved in a bunch of other stuff. I mean, she's a rough one. But what? Hey, maybe she should marry Ryan Lochte, and then they could have they could build a better Olympic team, I guess. I don't know, but
there's another guy who's lost out on millions of dollars from what he did, and it's kind of unfortunate for him. But I mean, we live under such a microscope today, and especially if you're a famous athlete. And Ryan Lochte, not necessarily I'd say as famous as, Tom Brady, but, when the Olympics are on once every 4 years, those guys are the center of attention, and that one thing, is going to cost them a lot of money and a lot of bad publicity. And, people say that all publicity is good, but, it's going to cost you sponsorships and, trust down the road with people, and, it didn't work out well for him. But, and like I said, you live under a microscope. Everything you do is being watched by somebody. And when you make a wrong move and then you go ahead and lie about it, bad things happen.
It's like casino. Somebody's always watching. I always get frustrated with athletes because obviously I wish I had the talent to be where they are. But you've got a limited lifespan of how long you can perform. can't you keep your nose clean for that period? And that brings me to my next guy, Joey Bosa. Now, I don't know. I'm calling him an idiot. I don't know all the details, but I hope he sits out the season. I mean, you know what? It serve him right, because that's money he'll never get back. I don't care what he does. I don't care how much he gets next year. He'll never get the money back he's going to miss out this year. And it's just stupid. I thought that the and we talked about this a little bit last week. I thought that all the rules were just set in stone. And that's what you get paid. You get drafted here, this is what you get paid. And I guess they made a better offer in their final, and I guess that they just pulled their offer. But, I mean, you know what? Go to work. That you got drafted. There's a benchmark, or there's a plan in place. What's your problem?
Yeah, this is tough for me, too, because, you know what? I don't think you'll ever really know all the details inside. I think it's easy to pick, you know, one side over the other, because, you know, you get two different sides coming out and saying what they're doing to solve the situation, and you get another side that has a completely different story. So I don't think, you know, you and me will never really know what's going on, but the Chargers actually, you know, released publicly the terms of the contract that they said was their best offer for Joey Bosa. So, you know, I don't really know much about rookie, you know, NFL contracts, but, you know, I'm going to throw some shade at both parties here. I mean, I think they're both in the wrong. They couldn't get this figured out. And it's going to end up costing them both. I mean, the Chargers.
Well, I'm going to cut in here. I know it's easier when we're in the same room, but I'm going to cut in here because he's 100% wrong. There is a template for how they put these things together, and he's the only.
Well, but obviously, the template, you know, isn't set in stone.
Well, it's close. Maybe he's trying to beat it. I mean, maybe he's trying to be the first guy to try to beat it now since they've done it. He's the only one holding out in the entire draft. You know what? You want to be a jackass? Be a jackass. You know what? I know one thing. Okay, the San Diego Chargers—they're the owners. That's their team. You don't want to play it? Stay home. And that's what I think, and I think that's what they finally decided, you know what? So they'll miss out on him as a draft choice, and that'll be the end of the day. They'll find a free agent next year that'll replace
him. Well, I mean, that's the thing. The Chargers can't really afford to let him go. I mean, they're a crappy team. He's their first-round pick. I mean, they're a team. They're not like the Patriots. They're not like the Broncos. They can't just let a guy go.
They're going to be a crappy team
next year. I mean, they're going to – I think he had a chance. You know, really be a cornerstone of that defense for a long time. And, you know, all the great teams of recent memory have been built on great defense. And I think, you know, while you probably should have signed already, I'm going to throw, you know, I think I got a problem with both people in this situation. And, you know what, if he doesn't sign and has to get drafted again, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
He's not going to get drafted. He can't get drafted again. He remains property of the Chargers. So he'll just sit out his ass forever. Look, you know, I've seen this happen before. And I've seen these guys try to muscle, and he's 100% in the wrong, okay? He's an idiot, and you know what? I hope he sits out, and the Chargers aren't going to be there. He ain't going to make the Chargers better this year. It ain't going to be a one-year turnaround, and they'll sign a guy like Von Miller next year, and they'll take that money instead. I mean, you know, again, I don't like these guys. Sometimes they just don't make any sense to what they do, and if he thinks he's going to take over the game and be the boss, so to speak, screw him. Let him sit it out and be a putz, because again, he's the first holdout of a first round draft choice in 4 or 5 or 6 years. I mean, this used to happen all the time before they put everything in stone. So if he wants to be a jackass, let him sit out. I don't really care. I'm happy that he does sit up because he deserves it. He ain't that good anyways. I think he was overdrafted to begin with. But that's my opinion. We're going to step out for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more NCAA, because we got to talk about Ole Miss and their investigation under the NCAA rules. Again, recruiting violations is always amazing. It never stops. This is The Sporting Edge with my guy, Xander. We're going to stop out of our break, but make sure when you miss a show, you know where to go, right? It's libertytalk.fm. You get not only the Sporting Edge, but you get the Bubba Show. That'll do it for the first spot here. We're going to stop out of our break. We will be right back with Xander and Bubba, The Sporting Edge.
Instant you finish it, I own your soul for...
Hey, wait. If I don't finish this last bite, you don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no, but...
I'm smarter than the devil!
And welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, you know, once again, of course, this always happens. I mean, it's part of college sports, and I think this is obviously a lot to do with, I think, the rotten NCAA. I just think the rules are really, they really stink, but they are the owners, basically, you know, as we talked about with San Diego. I mean, they do run the league. So, but at the end of the day, here we've got Ole Miss now under heavy scrutiny and investigation for recruiting violations. What are your thoughts there?
You know, my thoughts are that I don't think Ole Miss, you know, obviously they're not the only ones doing stuff like this, but I mean, when you get caught, you know, you can't really point fingers at anybody because, you know, when you're guilty yourself, it makes it hard to do. But I mean, now the NCAA, they don't have you know, any subpoena power, but, you know, they've been talking to other players near the SEC who have, you know, were possibly recruited by Ole Miss, you know, people that went to Auburn, Mississippi State, you know, kind of SEC Western Division schools. And, I mean, that could even uncover a whole nother load of, you know, things that are going against Ole Miss, because, I mean, you got to think that some of these other players who were recruited by them might know something. So, I mean, the NCAA, I think, doing everything they can to get down to the bottom of all of this. And, you know, there's already been 28 violations, so it's not like we're just uncovering everything. But, I mean, who knows, maybe there's 28 more lying, you know, under the cover somewhere. And after the, you know, the text messages and the payments from the Laramie Tunsil incident that got basically uncovered during draft night, I mean, it's a bad look for Ole Miss. And, you know, they got the self-imposed sanctions already, and I feel like that's a way for, you know, teams to try to look good in front of the NCAA, which I understand why they're trying to do it. They don't really want to get burned. But, I mean, it's a bad look for Ole Miss, but, you know, we hear about this every year. I mean, in a lot of different sports, you know, teams are doing stuff like this all the time, and it's just, you know, a matter of if they get caught or not. But Ole Miss happened to bite the bullet here.
Let me ask your opinion on this. I think that the NCAA in this case needs to change, and some of the rules need to change to keep guys away from trying to, you know, pull these fast ones. And, you know, listen, we know guys got paid over the years. I don't know if they still pay them in the same way they used to. But, you know, there was cars, there was women, there was everything that to get guys to come. Do you think that the NCAA needs to look at their system? I mean, after all, basically hasn't changed in 1,000 years. I mean, do you think it's time for them to look at under their hood, too, and maybe make some adjustments for some of these players?
I do. I mean, there's some rules that are good. There's some rules that are bad. But, I mean, just reading some of the Ole Miss violations, you know, assistant Chris Kiffin provided 2 nights of lodging for a student-athlete at his residence. Monetary value is $33. That was a Level 3 violation. You know, one being the highest. But, you know, regardless, stuff like that, for me, it's just kind of stupid. I mean, you know, I understand, you know, if this is like an SMU incident or a Miami thing where, you know, they're paying guys under the table. They're paying a guy, you know, $100,000 a year, basically. You know what? I see that as being a problem. But, you know, for little stuff, all these things, you know, $100 here, $100 there. You know what? I just don't really think there needs to be that tight of a stranglehold on, you know, the rules and the regulations for, you know, teams trying to compete with each other. I think they're just a little too tight on their rules, and some things I think just make you shake your head. Like that one for me was a major one. You know, if you buy somebody a meal, it's a violation.
Yeah, but how about the one that if you give somebody a bagel, but if you add cream cheese, that counted as a meal. Okay.
I didn't know about that, but I mean, there's another one. It's just stupid.
All right. So, you know, I don't know. And of course, we got the season starting in 28 days or so. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think a good spot to look over is the ACC. You know, we got Mark Richt coming to Miami. You know, we got a Tar Heels team that I think could make some noise. Really underrated team that I think, you know, might have a shot at the ACC is Louisville. I don't think I'd take them over Florida State or Clemson, but you know, I think Louisville is a team that, you know, was 9-3 last year that, you know, really didn't really lose much, and I think they can get a lot better. You know, sophomore Lamar Jackson was a very good quarterback last year, and, you know, we saw how important a quarterback is to a team. You know, Deshaun Watson, Clemson, I mean, this is the kind of division that has had a lot of great quarterbacks, and I think, you know, if Louisville can get that going and get the offense going a little bit, I think they might have a chance to compete with Florida State or Clemson. But, I mean, those two are really the cream of the crop in the ACC. And if you look at all the experts, it's split about 50-50 between Clemson and Florida State. I'd have to lean a little bit towards Clemson to take it all because, you know, Deshaun Watson's coming back. I think he is the best player in college football. And, you know, the experience is there. They also didn't lose too much. And but Florida State, I mean, one thing about them, they've always got talent. You know, whether they put it to good use, you know, is yet to be seen. But, you know, they put them, experts put, you know, Florida State and Clemson talent-wise pretty near each other. So that's why I keep it.
That's because they pay better underneath the table.
That's true also. But, you know, I would lean towards Clemson right now, Florida State, and then Louisville. But, you know, I would not be surprised if Florida State came out and ran the table this year because, I mean, they got an awful lot of talent. And, you know, they might even be more talented than Clemson. So we'll see. But, again, Florida State, you know, starting a redshirt freshman at quarterback, you know, that it's always a toss-up. I mean, you never know.
Absolutely.
Do you have any thoughts on the ACC, Bob?
You know, I think that, you know, they're an okay conference. Again, I'm, you know, I love Clemson. I love the effort they put up last year in the national championship game. But I still don't believe they're in the league of the SEC yet. You know, again, I'd like to believe they are, but I think the SEC is still the best football conference. I think, you know, there's a couple of teams in the Big Ten that can compete, but in my opinion, it's the SEC, far and away, the best overall conference.
Right. And then, you know, you got Clemson is traveling to Florida State on October 29th, so that's, you know, pretty late in the season, so I think that game will probably determine the winner of this conference. You know, we'll see about what Louisville does. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I agree with you. I think SEC is still cream of the crop. I would have to put Alabama still as my favorite to win. I mean, it's hard not to do that year in and year out when, you know, you've seen what Nick Saban has done. I mean, you can make an argument that he's the most successful coach college football has ever seen. I mean, I think he was like one championship away from Bear Bryant's.
Oh yeah, no, he's unbelievable.
Record.
I mean, you can say what you want about him, but he is unbelievable, and he get her done. And of course, he's got, you know, the great school tradition to draw him to. But, you know, it's amazing that some of the athletes he gets, you know, that would normally, you know, really probably flourish in other areas, but yet they still go to Alabama. So that's pretty
right,
cool.
And you get the top five out of 30 running backs in the country, and only really one of them gets to play a lot, but. I mean, it's got to be an attractive thing to want to play under Nick Saban. I mean, the guy has been nothing but successful at the college level. And we'll see if he ever takes it back to the pros. But honestly, I don't know if he's ever going to go back. I mean, I think he's probably got the best job in college sports right now.
Oh, yeah, I don't think he ever goes back. I think he's just going to stay there and do his thing. There's no reason to go back and fight with those animals at the pro level, because, you know, again, it's not, you're not the guy. You know, you're now, you know, fighting against the egos of the big guys. And I think he tried it once, and now it's even worse. I mean, you know, we talked about earlier with Joey Bosa. I mean, you know, what do you want to worry about? You know, these guys wiping their ass for, you know, for a few extra bucks. I mean, you know, that to me, that's. I think he's done. I think he's very comfortable in Alabama, and I think that he'll die at Alabama if he continues to coach. I mean, just I think that'll be, you know, his last job, in my opinion. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, talking a little bit about quarterbacks before, and I thought we could kind of jump into some rookie quarterbacks, the NFL level. You know, I read a really interesting article on CBS the other day, kind of like a look into the future for some of these rookies that are going to get some time possibly this year, you know, maybe next year. And they started off with Dak Prescott,
right? Dallas Cowboys. You know what? I'll tell you something, and I agree, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. But I do think that that actually this is the first year that if Romo goes down, I think they have actually somebody who could actually function in that office and in that offense and really do something special, even though he's a young rookie and pretty inexperienced. But I think he's got enough physical tools to make it happen. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, or Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break, but make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break, the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
We're back. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And so, Xander, you were talking about Dak Prescott, and some of the quarterbacks. Go ahead through it, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, Dak Prescott, I thought was very impressive at Texas A&M. Mississippi State. Watching him, you know, he kind of reminded me of a Tim Tebow. Didn't always look the greatest throwing the ball, but you know, he just got it done, and he had, I think, you know, kind of that it factor about him, and he's very mobile, which, you know, like we talked about in the show before, not the biggest fan of running quarterbacks in the NFL, but, you know, I don't think it really hurts you if you can make a move. I mean, people, you know, don't realize, I think Aaron Rodgers is, you know, secretly one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the league, and, you know, he's not, you know, running, he doesn't run like Cam Newton does, but, I mean, when he needs to make a play with his feet, you know, he can usually do it, and that's what I like about Dak Prescott. He's a very athletic guy, got a strong arm, and I think he's a leader, and I think this Cowboys team is a very good team. I think they're a team that is a dark horse for the Super Bowl, and, you know, like you said, with Tony Romo, you never really know what you're going to get health-wise. I mean, last year, you know, having him on our team was very frustrating. I mean, you know, I had the collarbone issue, comes back, you know, and in two games, you know, he hurts the same thing. So I think the Cowboys have to be very comfortable with what they're seeing right now. And I don't know how much longer Tony Romo has in this league. I mean, he's getting up there in age. He's been knocked around a lot. And I think Dak Prescott is a perfect guy to take a reign. So comparison to Donovan McNabb, it's a bit high. And, you know, Donovan McNabb was a great quarterback, was a number two overall pick. And you know what? But I see the comparison because I think, you know, like Donovan McNabb, Dak Prescott is a leader and is a guy who I think could lead a team to a Super Bowl down the road. And, you know, if he was given the reins this year, I'd probably hold off. But I think this Cowboys team is on the rise. I don't think they're going to have a disappointment like they had last year.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, Romo's been hurt every year. So I don't, again, I see Dak Prescott getting some time. And I think Romo is one shot. One big whack away from being done with his career. You know, he's really been beat up over the years, and I think he's one big done. What do you think about, I know Carson Wentz was second on that list. What'd you think?
Yeah, well, you know, the comparison here is to Matt Schaub, and Matt Schaub had some good years, and he had some bad years, and I think you take a look back at his career, you think basically a career backup, had a couple really good years as a starter, but more or less, career was kind of underwhelming, and you know it's a lot. I think to compare, you know, somebody who hasn't even started a regular season game and kind of put a label on their career as a Matt Schaub. But I think Carson Wentz is going to either underperform or outperform the Matt Schaub expectation. I think he has a chance to get rolling, and I think he's got the intangibles in the arm to be much better than Matt Schaub. I think Carson Wentz could be a 10-year starter in this league, but I don't know if he's going to be. And that's where my thing is. I can see him being 4 or 5 years, you know, possibly being a being a Blaine Gabbert, maybe, who doesn't end up starting for the 49ers, just kind of tails off into the league and, you know, is out of the league in 5 or 6 years. But I don't think the Eagles are going to give up on him because, you know, you spend a number two pick on somebody, you're going to give him a shot at some point, no matter what, because it's just too much value that you'd let go.
Oh, no, I think that he's going to be, very good. I think he's, you know, I think when you reach for that quarterback out of that spot, they saw tools that they think are unbelievable. And I think comparing them to Matt Schaub is obviously an insult, in my opinion. I mean, you know, it's like carrying to McNown or any of those guys. I mean, I think he's much better, and I hope he gets the reins sooner than later, because I think he'll develop and grow into it. And I think, you know, as you look at the others in this package, I think that Paxton Lynch is going to end up being the best out of the bunch. That's my personal opinion. Goff and Hackenberg, and I think Hackenberg is going to be much better than anybody expects. What do you think?
You know, I always liked Hackenberg. Not very exciting, but I think he's got, you know, arguably the best set of tools. I think, you know, he's very highly touted going into Penn State, and never was great. You know, never really competed for a Heisman, but I think was always solid. And I think he's got, you know, a good mental makeup for the position. Paxton Lynch is my wild card. I think he's got a chance to be the best out of the bunch, but you know, I really don't know. It's hard to judge guys. Carson Wentz too. I mean, these guys were not guys who played at, you know, big time schools. I mean, I don't even put them in a third tier. I mean, Paxton Lynch played at Memphis. Carson Wentz played, you know, Division I AA. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm sure these guys have the talent, but I mean, the NFL game is just 10 times faster than the college game.
Right, and remember this though. You know, not only is it 10 times faster, but the guys you're playing with. Yes, when you're a big school playing against a smaller school, you look like you're much better than you are. But when you're playing like in the SEC or a conference like that, you don't necessarily get that benefit. But the guys you're now playing with, your skill guys, your line guys are much, much better as well now, too. So I do like Paxton Lynch. I think that he's going to be he's the big wild card. I mean, we know about Goff. You know, we saw his stats in California, but you know, when you're throwing the ball 85 times a game, I mean, you know, I don't get real excited. I think Hackenberg had a bad break. You know, I mean, that was through the Joe Paterno investigation. They weren't, you know, I think my personal opinion is he made a mistake going to that school in the first place. I mean, Penn State is not where you'd ideally choose to go to be a quarterback anyways. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's where I feel a little bit for Jared Goff. You know, I wouldn't want to really go play for Jeff Fisher if I was, you know, a number one overall pick starting quarterback. Jeff Fisher, I mean, say what you want about him, but I mean, the guy is kind of living 20 years in the past, I think, when it comes to, you know, the game of football. You know, that offense has been just brutal. You know,
ever since
he's been there. Not to say that it's all his fault, but
it is all his fault. I agree with you.
Just haven't, you know, they just don't really get it done, and Todd Gurley is unbelievable and had a great rookie season, but I mean, he need to throw the ball a little bit to be successful in this league. And that's where I wonder, you know, is Jared Goff gonna start right away? I don't think he is, but you know, Jeff Fisher I don't think is really the guy to turn him into the quarterback that people think he can be.
Look at, he did Sam Bradford, he almost had him killed. But I got a couple of things I want to get to before we get out of this segment, but James Harden, NBA, called the mini camps for players. Is he be changing his stripes? Is he becoming a team player all of a sudden? What do you think?
I'd say probably not. You know, I mean, I think when you see a guy in the league long enough, you know, it's kind of hard to change. Kind of like for me, we talk about a hitter who's, you know, having a bad year, but has consistently hit 300. I mean, usually they're going to come back and hit 300. And James Harden, I don't really see changing. I mean, I think I've gotten to know him, you know, from an outsider's perspective about it as well as you can in the NBA. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. The only reason I could see him, you know, maybe changing tune a little bit is if he realizes that, you know, the way he's been playing is not going to, you know, help the team win. And, you know, the Houston Rockets, they've had a ton of talent the past few years. And they did get to the conference championship. I'll have to give him that, but you know, I think if they're going to win, there needs to be a little more defense from James Harden. And maybe he does realize that. I don't know. I'd have to lean towards no. But, you know, sometimes guys start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and not to say that James Harden is anywhere near retiring, but, you know, he's been in the league, I think, 7 or 8 years now, and, you know, some guys realize if they ever want to win, you know, they got to change something up.
Yep, and then there's the talk of Johnny Manziel going to the CFL. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think we see Johnny Manziel making a comeback until next year, and I think they'll try to be aimed at the NFL. You know, he might do it, though. I mean, it might be a nice place to get his feet wet, get some experience before jumping right back in. Because there was times last year where he looked like he was completely lost on the football field. And, you know, the NFL, it's not easy being a pro quarterback, but especially if you're not prepared to be one. You know, that's kind of what happened, I think, with Johnny Manziel. And, you know, he had some moments of brilliance last year, but he also had some moments where he looked like he should never stepped on a football field.
Well, he was probably stoned.
What'd you say?
He was probably stoned when he didn't look like he knew where he was.
Yeah, you know, you never know. But I hope for his sake he at first gets healthy for his own life, and then if, you know, he decides to make a comeback, you know, I'd be all for it. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, he is... I think the most exciting college football player I've ever seen. I mean, maybe besides Cam Newton. But yeah, Johnny Manziel, I still remember the first time when he beat Alabama and turned in, you know, one of the biggest folk heroes of the college football season. I mean, he's definitely got the talent, but, you know, like you said, a lot of people have talent. It's what you do with it. And right now, Johnny Manziel is kind of at the bottom of the rock pile, but hopefully he can climb up and take this year, rehabilitate himself, and
Let's hope he does, and we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, or Xander and Bubba, and make sure when you miss us, you get to libertytalk.fm and download the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. We'll be right back after this break. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back. I've paid my dues. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, Mr. Big Poppy, retiring. And as I thought and I said, he'd go out like an unbelievable. And he is having an unbelievable season. He just became the oldest player ever to hit 30 home runs in a season. What do you think, man?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, I thought maybe this being his last year that he might, you know, go out and have a pretty good year. But, I mean, he is having, I think, you could argue that it's, you know, on pace for the best year of his career. I mean, he got 30 bombs.
He got over 100 RBIs. But, you know, he did it. He was, you know, believe it or not, he's in the top five of all his players to do it. He did it when he was 39 as well. He's amazing. He's a great guy. And I hope he does retire. You know, everybody's talking. He should not. They want him to come back. I hope he retires. You know, it'd be great to go out this way. But, of course, Pedro Martinez says, hey, you know, why give up $25 million? And, you know, I mean, it makes sense, right? And how about another old man who got bad feet? How about Albert Pujols? You know, every year, 30 and 100, like a machine, you know, it doesn't matter. The guy just keeps banging him out. And there's a guy, you got to give this guy a lot of credit because you can see he's injured and he just keeps playing anyways. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Pujols, basically the power numbers are still there. I mean, the only thing that's different is he's not hitting 325 anymore. But yeah, he's a great player. I still think, looking back, that contract is going to go down as, I think, one of the worst ones of all time. And it's a shame because Albert Pujols is such a great guy and is a great player. But, I mean, looking at, you know, the amount of money they paid him and where they are now, I think it was just a little ill-timed. But, I mean, Albert Pujols is still putting up some unbelievable power numbers. It's just a shame that, you know, it seemed like he was slowing down and the Cardinals saw that. And I understand why the Angels signed him for big money, but, you know, maybe they knew, you know, his career, his time was running out a little quicker, and, you know, we'll see where he goes from here. But, you know, he's still putting up some great power numbers, and he's fun to watch. But, I mean, that 10-year stretch he had with St. Louis where he was hitting 325, you know, going 40 and 130 was another ball game.
Unbelievable. And how about Cespedes, Yonis? You know, I don't know what's behind it. Because, again, he's been in most places. Nobody's kept him this long. But he says he's not. He's going to honor his contract instead of opting out after 1 year. And certainly, if he opted out, he'd get another big number, I would think. I mean, he's even with all his goofy stuff and his golf and whatever, he's still going to be, you know, 30-100 again this year. So, what are your thoughts?
I think it'd be silly of him not to opt out. I mean, I understand what he's saying, you know, trying to honor the deal that he signed. But I mean, that's just a part of the business side of sports. You know, and you have the opportunity to make a lot more money. Which a guy like him, I mean, he's a premium free agent. I mean, a guy who can hit 300 and hit 40 home runs. I mean, people will flock to him, and the fact that he'd have a chance to opt out and not do that, you know, and make $50 million in two seasons, which I think he can make, you know, quite a bit more than that. You know, it'd be silly of him to do that, and I don't know why he came out and said what he said, and I don't really know the reason for it, but, you know, I don't know if I could take him exactly at his word. I mean, it just wouldn't make sense for him, you know, and as an individual to do that when he could, you know, test the market and get a lot more money.
And how about the Yankees? Gary Sanchez, 9 bombs already. Got walked on Wednesday in front of Mark Teixeira with the Seattle because they can't seem to get him out. It looks like the Yankees are doing a hell of a lot better with everybody they got rid of, and they've got a lot of talent now they can maneuver with next year. What do you think?
Gabby Sanchez has been a joy to watch so far. I mean, you know, 9 home runs in his first 27 at-bats. We have a guy who topped that this year, actually. Trevor Story had 10 home runs in his first 36 at-bats. So, you know, Gary Sanchez still has 9 more to maybe to tie that record or even break it. He's unbelievable. You know, he's hitting almost 400, 6 doubles, 9 homers, 16 RBI. You know, he's unbelievable. And the Yankees, I mean, believe it or not, they're still in the wild card race. And it just shows you, you know, you're not out until you're officially out. And I didn't think the Yankees had it, but I mean, nobody thought, you know, this guy was going to come up and hit 10 bombs right away. But, you know, they're in the wild card race.
They're still
interesting to see down the stretch.
They're still in the running. And of course, I think the biggest thing we got to talk about first, though, is the Dodgers. I mean, they're in first place. They're now pulling away. And on Wednesday night, Rich Hill, after the way he described it, it was like losing the tip of his finger because that's how bad the blister was, comes in and throws 6 innings and wins 1-0 over the struggling San Francisco Giants. What do you think of that?
It was awesome. I mean, you think San Francisco, you know, you're throwing out Baumgartner and Cueto, that you need one of those games, if not two. And Cueto, Rich Hill, I mean, Rich Hill is having a great year, but he hasn't pitched in over a month. And for him to come out and win that game 1-0, it was, I think it was probably the biggest game of the Dodgers season. This is now a 3-game race. And, you know, the way San Francisco has been playing since the break, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough for them to come back. But, like, I'm going to keep my tune from last week. I mean, there's a reason this team has won 3 World Series in the past 7 years. And they're not going to go without a fight. They just need to figure something out. They need to get on a little run because I don't think the Dodgers, you know, I don't think they're going to be as hot as they have been for the rest of the year.
Are you concerned about Baumgartner? I mean, his last 3 starts have been pretty freaking ugly. I mean, is there something wrong with this guy now? I mean, he's getting shelled. It's not even like, you know, it's bad. I mean, he's been getting waxed.
No, I'm not concerned about him. I don't really, you know, I've seen him pitch long enough to know that he's got great stuff. He's a great pitcher, and things like this happen in sports. But, you know, like you saw with Clayton Kershaw, he was having, you know, one of the best years from a pitcher I think I've ever seen that lit up a couple starts, and then it came out that he was hurt. And now, you know, 2 months later, he hasn't pitched since then. So I'm not worried about Baumgartner right now. I worry about this team more as a whole because they just haven't been getting it done. I mean, they, you know, 3 months ago, we basically almost put this division on the back burner when Kershaw got hurt.
Kershaw got hurt, and Sam Fran had the best record in baseball. And now they're falling apart, and I think the best race is still. And, you know, I think it was last year, too, is the American League East. I mean, you've got a rotation of first place, but it looks like Baltimore is going to, even though they kicked the crap out of Washington, okay, and that game on Wednesday night, what a game. They were up 10-1, and they almost blew it. Zach Britton almost spit it up. But I think Baltimore losing Tillman, I think you can stick a fork in those guys. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, losing Tillman is probably the worst thing that could have happened to them. I mean, you know, I don't even know that you could consider their number two as a Wade Miley. But, I mean, they did beat the crap out of Washington, which was impressive. They've always been successful against Washington. So I don't really know what that speaks about them as a team right now. I mean, sometimes another team, you just have their number. It doesn't matter what year, you know, what time it is. That's been the Orioles ball game. But the Red Sox, you know, like I said last week, they're getting hot at the right time. They've won 10 out of their last 12. You know, they're starting to pick it up. And Toronto's right there. So, I mean, like, I think it comes down to these two teams. I don't think the Orioles have enough for one game back. But they are a pretty fun team to watch. I mean, Mark Trumbo might hit 50 home runs this year.
He's unbelievable. And, real quickly, Houston, you call them alive. Then we call them dead. All of a sudden, they're alive again. Quick thought?
I think they're alive, but they're barely hanging on. Yeah, they're in a big couple weeks.
On life support, okay. The Detroit Tigers, did they make the playoff?
I think Detroit and Kansas City end up making the playoffs. It's
wow.
My bold prediction.
Wow, bold. You are bold. And, of course, we don't talk about the Cubbies. Tra-la, tra-la. They're just cruising around having their best August since 1920. And, of course, last... the Mets look ugly. DeGrom got pounded again after having some great starts. I say the Mets are on the outside looking in this year. What do you say?
Absolutely. Miami as well. I think, you know, the deal for Jeff Francoeur was, you know, might help a little bit, but they're not going to catch the Nationals.
And that'll do it for the Sporting Edge. It was obviously a great show. A lot of stuff on. We'll get some fantasy football next week. We'll get the last minute waiver wire. And we'll obviously continue to cover baseball. The races are heating up. But remember, when you miss an episode, you got to go to libertytalk.fm because that's where you can find Xander and Bubba on the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. We'll be talking a little bit of Ryder Cup next week as well. But for today, that's it. The Sporting Edge. We'll see you next year. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.